Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Monday, October 27th, and we're here with you once again. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, hi, good morning.
Indeed, we are. Our guest is not here yet, but probably will be here in a few minutes. This happens in L.A., and it happens everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
Where people run late.
You know? Yeah, definitely, because every place has rush hour.
I guess it does, yeah. But, well, the show must go on, and... You know, we can't wait.
Yeah.
We have to move forward. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. I went on a bike ride on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Rented bikes and
we ended up
going 16 miles.
Really?
We went from the marina down to Manhattan Beach.
That's quite a ride.
Hung out for a while and then went back up. But yeah, it was 16 miles.
Yeah. How long did it take? Do you know?
We did it the whole day.
Okay.
So it took us about an hour, hour and 15
just to ride each way?
Yeah.
Really?
Each way, yeah.
Oh, so that's not bad. But still,
we're going at
a long
pace,
ride.
But
yeah.
It wasn't probably the fastest pace, but it was relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably more miles than I've ridden on my bike since I bought it.
Did you do any bike riding this
weekend?
Yeah,
I went actually yesterday. I was bike riding around the neighborhood and stuff, and that was fun. And but, you know, I don't go far, you know. I mean, for me, it's just more to enjoy the environment. Mm-hmm. I'll take Ventura Boulevard, which is the main street here, and just ride on the sidewalks and stuff.
Yeah.
Check out the stores, the people, the restaurants.
Right?
Yeah, so it's fun, you know. You get to see people that you always see only from the car. From
definitely.
Inside the car, you get to actually explore it a little
bit.
So that's fun, you know. But I didn't have time to go to the beach I wanted to, and just didn't work out that way. But
yeah.
I guess I better start because it's going to get very cold soon.
Yeah, it's going to start to get chilly. You can feel it in the mornings that it's really cold.
Right,
now.
And at night too.
Yeah.
At night it gets pretty chilly.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I mean, but so it may not be bike weather soon. But
fall is coming.
Yeah.
But I remember, I mean, last January it was so hot.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was really hot throughout the whole year last year.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being chilly, but there's been a couple times like I wake up and I'm like, brr, it's kind of cold.
I know. It's hard to get up.
Yeah.
To get out of bed, man.
Yeah.
The blanket just feels so great, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been accustomed to America.
Yeah.
Because this is not cold.
I know. But, you know, in the morning I realize it's more than being tired. It's just being comfortable under the covers, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even when you're not that tired anymore, it's still cool to stay
still
in bed.
Still don't want to wake up.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
And Saturday I had to get up very early to take a friend to the airport. So that was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But I went back to bed, so.
Yeah. But that's early on a Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. 8 o'clock is early on a Saturday.
Anytime is, right?
Yeah.
I know. If I don't have a reason to get up, I just stay in bed, man.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't like it. I'd rather be up and about.
But that's the best thing about the weekend. And especially when it's cold, there's no reason to leave.
Yeah.
When it's hot, it's like, oh, I feel guilty. I should be doing something. But when it's cold, it's like, there's nothing else really to do. I should just stay inside.
Exactly. So I was hoping to go see a movie, but there aren't that great movies out now, you know. That Ouija movie that you were talking about got like such terrible reviews that I wouldn't go.
Oh, I'm sure.
You didn't go?
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah.
But I'm sure. Movies like that always don't never get good reviews.
Really?
I don't think scary movies ever get good reviews.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Oh, so this is supposed to be a scary movie?
Yeah.
The Ouija board thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow.
It's supposed to be like a horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some movies make it real big. I mean, you know, there's been some big scary movies and stuff. But for the most part, they're lower budget also, you know.
Exactly.
Because for filmmakers, that's the first thing they do. New filmmakers, they make a horror film.
Horror movies, for sure.
I don't know why, but they do.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never... I don't know. I can't think. I mean, Strangers, that was a good movie, a good horror movie. That was so long
Strangers?
Ago. Friday the 13th, all yeah. those movies. They're all horror movies.
Yeah.
I can't think of any recent movies that have done really well.
Yeah, probably recent not recent movies. Ones. Yeah. yeah.
But because you're right, people make them low budget and
right.
Yeah,
that's the first thing that they do. You don't have to be very talented, apparently, to yeah. make scary movies.
Right? You don't have to think of a very. It doesn't take long to think of the plot.
I know. It's like everybody and their cousin makes movies in L.A. You know, I mean, what is this?
Yeah, it's true.
I wonder how many of them even get seen these movies. Right. You know.
Yeah, I mean, because and you can just throw it on the internet.
Yeah.
Bam, I have a movie.
That's true.
That huh? easy.
Oh, well, a lot is happening in L.A. Do you know that they're saying L.A. is the funniest city in America? And that's not surprising. I mean, you know, we're like the entertainment capital of the world here.
Oh, like funny ha-ha?
Yeah, funny ha-ha, huh. like comedians and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I could see that.
We've got so many comedians in this town, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
No pun intended, but, you know. So they're talking about the clubs that we have in West Hollywood, like the Improv and the Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store.
Yeah, like
those are fun places to go to, you know. And they've had, I mean, many of the big comedians that we know today started in those small clubs, you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they may not be that small, but still, it's a small club when you go to a comedy club as opposed to a like concert or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
So, you know. So I've been, there's a place in Pasadena called the Ice House. That one's pretty cool, too.
I remember we had a guest that was playing there.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, yeah, one of the comedians.
Yeah.
We've had so many comedians on here.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But apparently a lot of people think they're funny, you know.
And other people do, too.
Yeah, I guess. But not everybody thinks that, you know, because I guess sometimes, you know, you can go to these comedy clubs and sometimes those guys just bomb, you know. And yeah. you go, wow, you know, it's like, how can they do that? I don't think I could stand up on stage. I mean, like with music, I'm great. You know, I have no mm-hmm. problem being in front of people. Talking also. But to do comedy that's pre-scripted and everything, it's like you really have to know how to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
The delivery is everything.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, that would be my worst nightmare, standing up. I think I'm funny and no one laughs. Like,
right.
That would just be the worst thing ever.
Right?
It'd be terrible. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Somebody's trying to call, but we don't take phone calls on the show, so forget about it. Don't call. Oh, man. So our guest arrived. We'll get to him in just a few minutes. And not that we didn't know you'd arrive. It's just that it's L.A., so it's okay. You can excuse people sometimes, you know. But I wanted to bring this up because this is unusual. Now, in Afghanistan, this 10-year-old girl was raped by a cleric. And actually, he was convicted, and she won. So they're sending him to prison for 20 years. And
wow.
But, you know, he tried to pass this off as consensual sex with a 10-year-old, right?
Yeah. She yeah. doesn't even know what sex
very
is.
Very consensual. Very consensual.
Yeah.
It doesn't say how old he is, but does it really matter? I mean, the thing is that this is disgusting. But the unusual thing about it is that they actually got a conviction against a rapist, which is very unusual in Afghanistan.
Right.
You know, like for
I
example.
Can imagine.
Yeah, you know, because like in Iran, for example, this woman killed her alleged rapist and she was hanged the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the kind of places these are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this 10-year-old, I mean, you know, you've got to give it to her that she stepped forward and actually fought this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure it was a family, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But for crying out loud, you know, the thing is that to try and fight this kind of place, these kind of laws and stuff is unheard of. You
yeah,
know?
For sure.
But
maybe
but
it'll
yeah,
be
I mean,
the first of many.
Yeah. You know, 20 years is not enough. You know, they need to castrate him, too, so he can think about this every day of his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because he's taking her life. I mean, you know, how much of a life is she going to have after being violated like that?
Yeah.
At such an innocent age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's 10 years old? It's a baby.
Yeah.
How can people do this shit? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I.
Yeah.
So I think that's unusual, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. Also, apparently, Oscar Pistorius, the tribal, they're saying it's not applied the law, and the sentence must be found to be shockingly inappropriate. And I don't think this is, it's totally not shocking.
Yeah, I agree. Inappropriate. I guess the mother of, what's her name, Reina? I don't know exactly what her name is, but the mother of the girlfriend that got killed said that the girlfriend's bags were packed. She was going to leave. Well, she thinks that it was that night that she was going to leave.
Oh, wow.
Oscar.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now, but it sounds like the family has no money. She said that now she's kind of selling the story.
Right.
Because they don't even have money to eat.
Right. And I guess he'd given them some money before and they gave it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Well, he was paying them monthly installments, but he tried to give them a lump sum.
Right.
It kind of sounds like he's trying to buy them.
Well,
but they said they don't want bloody
money.
Blood money.
Yeah. Her name is Reva. Reva Steenkamp.
Reva, that was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's South Africa. And the reason also I brought it up is because I guess another South African died, a soccer player, and he's a goalie, I guess, in South Africa, pretty popular, got killed over a robbery, during a robbery over a cell phone. Now, the reason I bring this up is because that's how South Africa has been for many years since apartheid was aborted. And I lived there for a year, and I've seen what it's like to live in fear like this.
Yeah.
People live behind electric fences, and I'm sure he had one too, but people slipped into his house and stuff. So, you know, the thing is, it's very scary to live there, and there's a lot of wealth there, a lot of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but the disparity in wealth, I think, is what's causing this. You know, you have the very poor people seeing the very rich people, and they figured it's okay.
Wow.
You know, so it's scary to live there. And I'm telling you, a lot of people left South Africa because of this, because it seems like almost everyone knows somebody who's been attacked.
Yeah, definitely.
It's that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said he's a soccer player?
Yeah, he's a soccer player.
A Cardinals baseball player, Oscar Tavares, I think I'm saying his name right. But he's from the Dominican Republic. He's played, I think it was his first year, his rookie year in the Major Leagues. He got killed in a crash in the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
It was yesterday, the day before yesterday, but he's died. And he was like an up-and-coming star. But he was 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty, that's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, a lot of sad news. Enough of that. We're going to get to our guest right now, who is happy and everything. Welcome to the show, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
John Mike Killian, right?
Exactly.
Welcome to the show. What happened this morning? You got stuck in traffic?
I actually woke up to a flat tire.
Oh, wow. How wonderful.
I know. It's a Monday, so I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I know. And that's like, I would be so stressed out. I mean, you have to be at a radio show. You know, did you have enough time to even fix it? Or
I was waiting for AAA.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, it took like an hour and a half. So
really?
Yeah.
So you must have actually left the house pretty early, right?
I mean, well, I tried
to. You still had time, yeah. You still had time. Time to do all this and stuff, so that's pretty cool. I mean, if you had left 10 minutes before you're supposed to be here, you would have never gotten here at all.
Maybe, I guess not.
Yeah. So good for you. Your intentions were good. That's
absolutely.
That's what's important. So John has been on the show before. Do you remember when you were here?
March 18th.
March 18th. Wow. How do you remember that? I mean, the specific day, huh? Well, you probably looked it up and stuff. I'm sure you can't remember stuff like this. So last time you were here, you'd written a book. You were doing a lot of things and everything. You mentioned something on Facebook about Shark Tank. Have you ever been, did that ever work out for you?
Not yet, but I'm still trying.
Really?
Yeah, a friend and I actually went to Old Town Pasadena, and we held up a sign that says, high five if you want to see me on Shark Tank. Uh-huh. And we got about 22 high fives in 17 minutes.
So really?
It was pretty overwhelming.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very cool.
But that obviously doesn't help you get into the show, right?
It might. If they randomly come across the video on YouTube, then they might contact me, but, you know, chances are slim.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What are you wanting to go that for?
To pitch my first book, because, you know, it's a very important book and there's a mass audience for it, you know, college students and, you know, their parents enjoy reading it too. So there's a lot of potential. And then, you know, I know that I will get on the show as long as I keep trying and do all the right things.
Yeah. Right. I'm just wondering if a book is the appropriate thing to take there, because they, you know, I never watched the show before, and then I got a book on business that was like related to the show, and I got like curious, so I started watching it, and it seems like mostly it's like inventors that sort of like wow them with new things, right? So I don't know that a book is going to work for you.
Believe it or not, but there was actually a children's book on season two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there been a book or two on the show, so that gives me hope.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. That's true. I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you or anything.
No.
But you want to be realistic about it, too, you know? So, but I mean, books, there's a lot of different ways to promote books and stuff, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So you wrote a new book now?
Yes.
Okay. The first one was on college, being right. in college and stuff. Remind us a little bit about what's the book called?
The first one's called Reality Check, a College Student Survival Guide.
Okay. And you wrote that for, obviously, for college students who are trying to survive.
Exactly.
In this world. You see, I'm smart. Charlotte.
I wonder what gave it away.
I told you I'm not stupid. I have to reinforce that to myself.
No one thinks that, Sam.
Well, thank you. I do, maybe, sometimes, right? But no, so this is pretty cool. So the book has been going well so far for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now it's available on the Barnes & Noble website, on Amazon.com, and 10 college bookstores across the country.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How do you get it into there? I mean, do you have to have like an... Because I know it used to be in the book industry and stuff, you'd have to have an agent and submit it to editors and things like that. It's like you couldn't do it directly with them. Have times changed? I mean, can you do it differently now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of bookstore managers, they've realized that self-publishing has, you know, pretty much exploded.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of authors are coming out with self-published books. That's good and bad because, you know, usually when you go through a publisher, they you know, they read your book, they proofread it, and they make sure, you know, everything's appropriate. But when you're self-published, you know, basically the managers are taking a chance on you. But
right.
I contacted the bookstores myself, you know, I emailed them, called them, you know, until they answered my phone call or email, and I told them, hey, I have a great book that's going to do well in your store, and it's going to benefit for your college students. So, you know, they said, well, we'll test it out, you know, we'll order a few copies and see how that goes. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So you're persistent, so you'll get on Shark Tank.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, there you
just
go.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah, you tell them this book is innovative. What the hell, you know? So this is pretty cool. Now on the Shark Tank thing, how did that idea come to you? I mean, do you watch the show and stuff?
Yeah, I watch it religiously.
Yeah, huh? Isn't that cool? I know. I just started watching it. I saw about 3 episodes or something, and it's pretty cool, you know, because people bring up like ideas for business and stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get like really. Unique people, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you get kids and stuff, you know.
They're making a spin-off to the show to go around and follow everybody that the people that they give money to and see how, because they only give like a short snippet.
Right, that's true.
At the end of what's happening now, but they're actually going to make a show.
Oh, wow.
That goes around and looks at everybody.
Yeah. And that's cool. I like that show because it's like so American, you know, the ability to promote entrepreneurs and help them out and things like that, you know.
It is.
And it's so important, you know. I mean, I keep reading about this, how entrepreneurs and smaller business is more important than large corporations to the economy, to creating jobs and stuff, you know. And it's important to promote entrepreneurship, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't do that enough in college either, right?
No, not really. I think a lot of, or some schools, they're starting to turn towards around that. But yeah, a lot of colleges haven't really recognized it.
Right. Now, so you obviously went to college, right?
Absolutely.
Did you go away to college, or did you go somewhere here?
Well, I was attending San Diego State University, but I'm actually transferring to Cal State LA this March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how was San Diego?
Was that great for you? Yeah, but there were some complications with my classes. They didn't accept all of them. So, you know, I figured by the time I graduate, you know, get my degree, it's just going to take too long.
Wow, yeah.
So I just decided to go to Cal State LA and finish by next year.
Good for you.
What are you graduating in?
is business administration and management with a specialization in entrepreneurship.
So it has, okay.
Yeah, it's in there.
Very cool. So I guess they're trying to promote more entrepreneurship now. Definitely. In college and stuff like that.
Do you think this should be, sorry, Sam, cut you off. Do you think this should be a more substantial program for entrepreneurship?
Absolutely, because you know, right now with college graduates, they're getting their degree, and you know, the job market, you know, it's two things. It's saturated, but at the same time, there's also a limited availability of jobs. So with entrepreneurship, you know, you're giving students an opportunity to create their own business and you know, make a living for themselves rather than you know, just putting in applications and, you know, waiting and hoping for, you know, an employer to hire them.
Right. And you know, I mean, I'm here to say that if you're not, you know, if you don't get to like really upper management at a big company, you don't make that much money being right. employed by a company. You know, you get your regular paycheck, and some people thrive on the regular income and everything. But you don't get rich from these things, mm-hmm. you know. Well, unless you go and work for companies that have like, you know, like technology companies that give you like stock options before they're famous and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And suddenly, bam, you're a billionaire overnight. So that can happen, but it's still in smaller companies. And the thing is that there's every possible opportunity for you to start a business here, you know. And that's why many people come here from all over the world, I think, because people have that drive for their own business all over, you know. And they just know that it's easier here. You know, there's they make it easier for you. The government helps you out and things like that. So it's definitely fertile ground for a lot of new businesses and stuff. Yeah. Do you have any businesses in mind you want to do? I mean, are you going to be in book publishing, or do you have any other aspirations?
Well, actually, I have an idea for an app right now that I'm working on.
Uh-huh.
It's still in the early stages, so we'll see how it does.
Yeah. So you're not going to tell us about it?
No, not right now. It's too early.
But aren't apps very expensive to create?
I think it depends on what's considered expensive, because yeah, you can either hire a app developer, you know, who's basically going to charge you upfront for the cost, or you can hire someone, or not really hire, but you can partner. Like I'm a college student, so I can find another college student who's majoring maybe in app development, and then I could partner with him, and then we're not really investing or we're not getting. I'm not really paying him, or I'm not getting paid, but we're investing our time, which right. is the most expensive resource, so you can't get that time back. So mm-hmm. it's definitely opportunity risk.
Right. And then, yeah, and you have to partner with someone, you know. I mean, you've got to – it's always good when you go into business to get someone who can complement what you don't have, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What you're weak in. And if you – so because some people are tempted to say, well, I'll hire somebody just like me, you know, so we can get along and stuff. But that's not the reality, you know. The reality is it's like, why do you need two people doing the same things, you know?
Yeah.
So when one does one thing, you know, let's say you take the business side, he takes the technical side and that, then it works, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So have you found anybody that to partner with yet?
I'm talking to a few people right now, and then you know, I sent them the sketches, and you know, we're still in the talking stages. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like it's going to work out. We just got to, yeah, you know, put everything together, you know, just kind of come out the gate running.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the thing is also, you have to figure out a business model, like, will people buy this, you know, because there are so many free apps right now, and then you have to find like a different revenue stream, like maybe from in-app purchases or advertising or things like that, you know.
Right.
Because when you give it away, you get a lot of users, you know, and then you can use that for advertisers.
Yeah. I've been trying to.
It's okay. It's a conversation.
I just started.
I don't stop.
Playing. I never play games, but uh-huh. I just started this game called Scramble, and it's free, but you can only play, you have to have a certain amount of coins to play, and it takes 15 minutes once you've played and used all your coins to get more.
Yes, I've seen games like that.
So yesterday I was playing, I was like, well, I have to continue playing. So I bought some coins because I was like, well, I can't play for 15 more minutes. But that's how they get you, because then you just keep wanting to play. And right. when they give you a 15-minute window, you can't play the next game for 15. It's like, well, I don't want to wait 15 minutes. I want to play now.
Wow.
So, and then I can, and if I'm buying them and I never buy anything on apps ever. I can only imagine how many other people who do spend money on apps are, how much they're spending on them.
That's true. But that is definitely one thing to figure out, because, you know, you have many, many techies and stuff, very talented people that go, oh, I have an idea for an app. They come up with the app, they give it away for free, and then they have to go out of business, you know, because you can't run a business without making money, obviously. So, you know, and then I go in that app store and I go, wow, I mean, there's just so much.
There's so many
apps out there, you know. So you really have to do something unique and original to be able to stand out, you know, and figure out how to make money on it. So we wish you much success with that, John.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So let's talk about the new book. You just wrote a new book. Obviously, you have several books in you, right?
There's a way to come out.
Yeah, I know. Because not just anybody can write a book, you know. I mean, it takes a little dedication, I think, or a lot of dedication and persistence, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, because I picture myself, if I start writing a book, I write a couple pages and then drop it, you know, because it's too long term for me. I have to have like short term, you know. Somebody told me once, you're not a long distance runner, you're a sprinter, you know. You need things quickly, you know. I know, because writing a book, I wouldn't see the end of it, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't picture finishing it. So this is cool. So tell us, what's the new book called?
It's called The Entrepreneur Cheat Sheet.
Oh, cool. Okay, so now you're moving on from college to entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
Sounds good. So how did you hit upon that one?
To the topic we were talking about earlier with entrepreneurship and how schools are, or a lot of schools haven't recognized it. I wanted to share my knowledge and my experience, and you know, I wanted to write a book where a lot of college students or unemployed Americans, they can read it. You know, they can figure out how to start a business, because, you know, it seems like nowadays everyone has an idea, everyone has a or everyone wants to start a business, but they don't really know where to start or how to create their product, how to market it, how to sell it, how to take it to market. And that's what this book is for. So,
cool.
You know, just by reading it, I like to tell people that, you know, you can become an entrepreneur overnight by reading this book, because, you know, it's very short. It's about 90 pages long, and everything they need to know is bullet pointed.
Right.
And then kind of like a cheat sheet, you know, in college, everything's highlighted.
Right.
All the important things. So you can go through it, you know, 90 pages literally overnight. And then, like, and then you're going to know what it takes to be an entrepreneur and, you know, what you're going to have to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how did you come up with all this knowledge and information? I mean, you're still in college. Did you start any businesses yet?
Well, I just learned so much from my book. You know, it's funny because, you know, you think it's just a book, you know, but it's just like any other business. You know, you have to market it. You have to, you know, take it to market. You know, whether I'm selling it online or whether it's through retail stores, you know, I still have to come up with a marketing plan. So, yeah, just like any other business. And I've learned so much from that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you're willing to pass this on to other
people
and stuff. So now... So we already established that entrepreneurship is pretty important and stuff. So, I mean, how did you feel at a certain point that you can't work for other people? You want to only work for yourself?
Yeah, it was when I was working in retail. After working in retail for 4 years, I realized that, you know, I was putting up some crazy numbers when it came to sales. I mean, a lot better than my other associates, but I also realized that I wasn't really getting anywhere.
Yeah, you were earning it for someone else.
Exactly, yep.
Right.
And I wanted to put that money in my pocket instead.
Right.
So, you know, that's when I decided that I want to work for myself. And, you know, that's when I decided to go down the entrepreneurial path.
That's cool.
What? So when you write books, because obviously you have numerous ideas, how do you start up and come with the idea? Obviously, with the first one, Was it going through college yourself? You were like, okay, this is what everyone needs to know of how to succeed.
Mm-hmm. So just like any other product, you have to make sure that there's a demand for it. I mean, it all starts with what your goals are with the book. You know, if you want to, you know, just have like a small group of people who want to read your book and enjoy, you know, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, if you want to sell to, you know, millions and millions of people, you have to find a topic that, you know, a lot of people can relate to, or there's a need for it. And that's when, you know, you start creating an outline and, you know, put all your ideas that, you know, you want to put in the book, and just kind of use that to start writing the book and, you know, help keep yourself on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long does it take you to write a 90-page book? Because that doesn't seem... I could see how... Well, some people write 300-page books in a month.
Right.
And some people write 100-page
books
in 3 years.
But those are usually, I think, the experienced ones, you know, that we talk to and stuff.
Right.
I think the first book probably takes longer than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? My first book took, this one took about a month. It's short, but the first one took 3 months.
Okay, that's so
still
that's
not that long, yeah.
Yeah, so you're right, yeah. That's pretty cool. I guess when you sit down to write a novel or something where you have to do a lot of research, that would take time. Because some people are saying this book took like 10 years to write or something.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, obviously they don't write every day, but there's a lot of research going on.
And I guess fiction is probably a little bit longer because you keep changing your mind and don't know what you want to do.
That's true. So I imagine you like to read, right? Did you always like to read?
To be honest, I don't like reading that much.
You
don't,
huh?
Yeah, it's like I'm one of those people who like to talk, but I don't like to listen. But I guess that's the story when it comes to writing, because I love writing, but I don't necessarily like to read unless it's like a business article or, it's written in a conversational tone, just like my first book.
Right.
So as long as it's not going to bore me to death, you know, captures my attention within the first 15, 20 seconds, then I'm going to read the whole thing.
Oh, forget about it. Then you're not going to read the Henry Kissinger book I'm reading, man. That one is dry history, but, you know, I've got to read this. I'm reading like 5 books right now.
Wow.
Because I discovered there's a bookstore still left in the valley. Well, there's a couple.
The Iliad?
No. I'm talking about the bookstores.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, the Iliad is the name of a bookstore?
Yeah, the bookstore, yeah.
No, actually, this is a Barnes & Noble in Calabasas. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that one was still open, so I started going there, you know, having some Starbucks and stuff like the good old days when we still had bookstores, you know? So every time I go, and then whenever I go on Amazon, here's another book. Now I'm reading 5 or 6 in the same time, you know? And it's not like I have that much time to read, you know? So every time I sit down, I pick up a different book, you know? But it takes forever, obviously, to finish them that way. But that's okay, you know? It's like I constantly have this hunger to learn new things, you know? But, of course, today you don't have to have books to do that. You have the internet, you have television, you have all this stuff that you can learn from, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily read books. But, and I've got a Kindle, too, but I don't like it as much as I do the books, you know? It's different.
Nothing like holding a book.
No. and knowing how many pages are left and being able to smell the paper and the ink. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I love that.
Definitely.
I love just holding a book, you know. But that's me. I'm weird. but no, usually readers are like that.
Yeah.
You get so used to, you get attached to the books and everything, you know. But that's good. So at least you like one side of it. You like to provide but not to consume.
Right.
Did you need to read a lot of the business reports and business articles to really expand your knowledge about entrepreneurship?
It's funny because I've been reading those type of articles maybe for the past 4 years. So I kind of built on that knowledge, but most of the stuff comes from my experience, you know, because you know what they say, there's no substitute for experience.
Right.
So unless, you know, we really go through that experience, you don't really know what it's like.
Right.
So, you know, that's why, you know, by going through whatever I've been through with my first book, you know, I guess I'm qualified enough to write a book about, you know, what other people should do, you know, that are starting off whenever I started with my first book.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, I like that. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to John McCallion, who wrote the book. The second book is The Entrepreneur's Cheat Sheet.
Yep.
And that should help you cheat quite a bit, right? During your entrepreneurial years.
Is it available for purchase right now?
It's going to be available in 2 weeks, but it will be on my website, www.johnmccallion.com.
Great.
Awesome.
And spell your last name for people?
It's spelled Mikaelian.
Sounds good. Now, is that an Armenian name?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so there's quite an Armenian community in LA, right?
Absolutely.
A lot of them.
A huge community.
Right. But you guys have like a pretty tough history too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have a country or anything. And do you know? I mean, is there Armenia right now?
Yeah, there is an Armenia, but, you know, I don't necessarily know all the political details about it. But, the country still exists. But I think they're still fighting control over it.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, there's been like mass killings and stuff of Armenians over the years, right?
Right, the Armenian Genocide, 1915.
Right, 1915.
Yes.
Wow. How many people died?
About 1.5 million.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. was wow. very.
And
very
who were the aggressors then?
It was well, at that time it was the Ottoman Empire.
The Ottoman Empire, yeah. Turkey, and yeah. stuff like that. Yeah. Well, that was the end of the Ottoman Empire right after World War I. But wow. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Did you get to study any Armenian history and stuff?
Yeah, I learned it when I was in grade school.
Yeah,
in elementary, I learned a lot about it. But you know, I'm still learning to this day because you know it's just a huge part, you know, of the Armenian culture. So you know, you're constantly hearing about it, reading about it. It's very interesting.
Right. So there's still fighting going on over this land.
Maybe not as much, but I know there's a lot of political conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not exactly the great area either, right. You know. I mean, you have all the fighting going on and stuff there anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's still Middle East and everything, although it's kind of like in Europe. Mm-hmm. But, wow, so that's quite a history. Do you know how many Armenian descendants are here?
I want to say about 4 or 5 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In L.A. or in America?
Probably in L.A.
Not in L.A. We have 4 million people
well,
in
that's
total.
True, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be nice. That's in America, not in L.A., man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, because L.A. has got about 3.8 million people.
Wow.
That's how many that's people it? We have. Yeah. It seems like more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a lot of people, 4 million yeah. people it in is. One city, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, some countries don't have that many people.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, entire countries. So,
where yeah. did you grow up?
I grew up here in L.A.
You did?
Yeah. Well, Pasadena, to be exact.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much where the Armenian community is centered, right?
Well, you'd be surprised because there's a lot in Pasadena, Hollywood, Glendale, and then a lot in San Fernando Valley.
Right.
So if you go to Sherman Oaks or Encino, there's a lot of Armenians there too.
Right. Sounds good. And they get involved in everything, you know? I mean, the thing is that, you know where I see a lot of Armenians is in the marijuana dispensaries. They seem to have cornered that market. But they're fun people. I always like interacting with mm-hmm. Armenian people because they're, you know, I mean, there's a certain like old country feel to it, you know, more like family and social orientation and things like that, you mm-hmm. know. So that's pretty cool. Do you have a big family?
Yeah. On my mom's side, she has two sisters, and my dad has 5 siblings.
Wow. And
so
you, do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger sister.
Oh, okay. So not a big family, immediate family.
No.
Good for you.
Is she an entrepreneur, too?
I mean, I hope so.
She's younger?
Yeah, she's 22. She's not that young, but we're only a few years apart.
Yeah. So cool. And so she's going to college too?
Yeah, she's going to LA Valley College as well.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. That's right over here, right?
Exactly.
Is that a pretty good school?
Yeah, it's a great school. I think it's underrated. You know, a lot of people just look at Santa Monica College and Pasadena City College and like, oh, that's the greatest community colleges in LA. But, you know, there's a lot of underrated colleges like Pierce, Valley.
Right.
You know, those are pretty good schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I went to Pierce College for a couple of years. I had a lot of fun there, you know. I totally recommend if people go to college to first go to a 2-year college or something. You know, where the pressure's not that great, you know, it's less formal and everything. So it's easier to get started, I think, if you go right after high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, because then, I mean, you hit the big time in the big universities and you're like, you're like a nobody, you know. Mm-hmm. You're competing with 30,000 students or something.
Get
you know?
Swallowed up.
I know. So you're still going to – no, so you're going to L.A. now, but how long did you go to San Diego State?
Cal State L.A. I was there for a few semesters.
In San Diego?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And
were you commuting or did I make that up?
No, I was walking to class.
Oh, I completely made that up. I don't know where I got commuting to from L.A.
That would be crazy.
That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That would be a long commute.
It would be.
But it's definitely not the worst thing you can do to live in San Diego, huh?
No, it's pretty good. I actually liked it a lot more than L.A.
It's a college town for the most part, wouldn't you
Depending
say?
On which area you're in.
Right. I know. But it's definitely smaller, you know, and mm-hmm. I like going there. It's cool. You know,
yeah.
It's not too big.
So it's hot.
Yeah, it is. Unless you're near the beach.
Yeah, I know. So what are your plans after this book now? What are you looking at to do next? I mean, I know this is going to take up a lot of your time anyway, but do you have any long-term goals that where you can see yourself a few years from now?
It's just continue being an entrepreneur, continue to give back as I learn, just like this book. Any idea can, you know, come to me any random day. So, you know, I guess time will tell.
Yeah. And but, with your new idea for the business and everything that you won't talk about at this point. That's okay. I understand.
I mean, give a little hint. Basically, it's an app where, like, let's say if you're new to town or, you know, it's a Friday night and you had plans with your friends and they cancel last minute, you know, it happens to all of us and we hate it. So they would log on the app, search for, or, you know, maybe like put in their zip code and then select type of venue.
Uh-huh.
And then they would, they'd be able to, they'd be able to select the venue and then they would see who's there and basically communicate with them. And, you know, a lot of people would probably think that as a dating app, but it's really not. It's more of a socializing app.
Yeah.
You know, meet new people and, you know, just
that's cool. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, people can use every possible way to meet other people.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. It's crucial.
It's so hard today, you know, to meet new people. And I think the older you get, the harder it gets, you know.
Definitely.
So, you know, you gotta. But I read something interesting the other day, a quote that someone said, in order to have a good friend, you need to be one. You know?
It's true.
And it's and people don't you know, I mean, people don't remember that. They're like, they expect too much from people. I know I'm like that, you know. That's why I don't have a lot of friends, you know, because I'm very picky, you know.
Yeah.
But the point is to be understanding, forgiving, patient, you know, because you can't. I mean, I'm a very strong critic of what a friend should be. I don't know why. I think from childhood, because I had very close friends when I grew up. And then over the years, it's gotten harder, you know, and I realize it because I expect people or friends to be the way it used to be for me, but it doesn't work like that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, once people have families and everything, they're older, they work, they have responsibilities. Friends are just somebody that you do things with, you know. I mean, sometimes someone you talk to and things like that. But for the most part, it's something that I think needs its own special attention, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen. And just like in a romantic relationship, a marriage or whatever, you have to work at it. You know, and I think, and so these are things that I'm actually learning later on in my life, but are important, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's very important. So so I think this would be a good way to meet people.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I'm excited about it. I just want to make it happen.
Yeah. I know. Wow.
How long does the process take?
I think more than creating an app, it's more about setting up the infrastructure and the servers. And making sure that when people start using it, it doesn't crash. Because
right.
You don't want them to have a bad experience. Then, especially if it's a new app, then they'll tell their friends, their family members, don't use this app because it's not reliable or
right.
You know, flat out sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that an app like that would have a lot of components, I guess,
right.
That you would
yeah.
have to put
right.
together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely not as easy as put together a simple website. You
exactly.
Know? Yeah. Wow. Well, the books are, so your website is johnmckillian.com.
Yes.
Right? And people can find out more about the books and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can, well, I'm very active on Twitter now, so they can follow me at Mr. MR, John McKillian on
okay.
Twitter.
And you are Mr. indeed.
Was John McKillian taken?
By myself, probably. Probably forgot the password or something.
Yeah. It's a pretty unusual, well, not John, but McKillian is, or is it pretty common in the Armenian
community? Yeah, there's a meat named after it.
Oh, it's really?
Yeah, oh. McKillian Martadel.
Oh, okay.
So if you go to the grocery market, you'll see it.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So
no relation to that,
else.
Though.
Yeah. Maybe they did take your name after all.
Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody's trying to call. I'm really curious to see. It's probably a wrong number, but let me see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Sam. This is Kevin and Chris here from Screaming Go Radio. You're talking about friends, and these
yeah.
are your two of your best friends.
Yes, you are. Have you been trying to call the whole show?
Well, we called earlier because we haven't heard Charlotte follow up on the extends tablets. that we gave you when we were guests on your show last week, and we were very curious to hear how the Extend tablet experiment was going.
As oh, she said, was.
She, you got a nice gift from two of your best friends.
She was supposed to see if I can't get up from my chair for 15 minutes, right?
That's what yeah. Said. Yeah. So, yeah, Chris and I were curious if you're lingering in your chair a little bit more, but how are the Extend tablets working for you, Sam?
I don't know. I sort of planted them in my planter at home and hoped that it would make my plants grow.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, you know. I mean, if you're not going to take them, Chris and I can always bring some peanut butter in, smear some peanut butter on the roof of your mouth with the tablet to force you to take this down because you mentioned friendship, Sam, and it's important to give back. And yeah. Chris and I were hoping that you would enjoy that lovely gift of friendship we gave you.
You guys definitely gave me a gift of friendship. I totally admire that.
And, two best friends that anybody could have.
Yeah. But there you go. I mean, we talk about friendship. You guys are good friends, and that's pretty important. Do you have a lot of good friends, would you say, Kevin, or a couple?
Well, I mean, you know, Chris and I are givers, as you can tell, Sam.
Right.
So we're always giving to our friends.
So you've been a good friend, right?
A lifetime supply of those Extend tablets, and we're just passing them out to all of our friends.
That's a sure way to get a friend, man.
Yes. Every single day, every single week, our friendship base is just growing and growing.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out why you're so preoccupied with my erections, but, you know, that's for another conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we can't get them out of our minds. But, you know, I'm glad to hear that your plants now are going to be enjoying those tablets. I guess you'll have to keep us posted on your plant direction.
There you go. Well, this is Kevin Campbell and his friend Chris LeBrum, and they were here the other day last week, and you guys should listen to the show. It was pretty funny. And you guys are starting your video show this Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and it's called Screaming Goat Radio, and it is going to be featured in video now, so everybody should check out the video channel on Wednesday. And go ahead.
Yeah, the show's going to be here video this Wednesday, so check it out on the LA Talk Radio page. And we were on Sam in the Morning last week. Check that out. And then also, our greatest hit episode was this past Wednesday. It's available on iTunes. It's also available on the LA Talk site. Check it out. Some clips from our show. We're excited to be starting the video here this Wednesday, Sam.
Sounds good. Sounds great, man. You're definitely a great promoter, and we appreciate that. Kevin, thank you so much for calling in, man. You were lucky
I got
to the call, because I usually don't take calls, but I guess I must have figured something's going on. So
hey, it's all about friendship, Sam, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, talking about erections. There you go.
Friendships and erections.
There
we'll
you
see
go.
You guys later.
Okay, bye. Oh, man. Yeah, they brought Extends here, man. I didn't get that at all. But she got a Hot Wheels car, a Ferrari. So
I
that
did.
Was nice, right?
Yep.
That's an awesome gift. A lot better than the other one.
Yeah, any news on when you're getting your car back?
No.
No, huh? Wow.
No.
You might as well just have sold it,
Wow. I know. That's sad.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody go out and check out John's books. The first one is, what's the title again?
It's called Reality Check, A College Student Survival Guide.
Reality Check, then. And the second one is The Entrepreneur Cheat Sheet, which is coming out in a couple weeks.
Exactly.
Right? And get it on Amazon and everywhere, and help a man earn a living so he can bring us that app that lets us meet people.
Yeah.
At venues and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like that very much.
Okay. I'm going to make it just because you want it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dedicate it to me or something. You know?
Okay, I will.
John, all the best to you. A lot of success.
Thank you very much.
I know you're going to do very well because you're a very ambitious person.
Yeah.
I see you post on Facebook all the time and stuff, so you're doing well. And we wish you much success with the books, the app. Everything else you're willing to do.
Thank you. I really appreciate
that. And that's it. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Kevin, for calling in. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.